Welcome back to the program. Another week has begun. We have now exited week six of the college football season, and we're heading toward week seven. And there were some interesting outcomes, to say the least, Saturday. Not the least of which, number three, Florida State, was upended by North Carolina State, 17-16. Number four, LSU, was beaten by Florida, 14-6. Number five, Georgia, was railroaded, to say the least, by South Carolina, 35-7. The Bun Sports Power Rankings will be shaken up a bit this week, I would imagine. The college football professor is with us, as he is every Monday. Don't you think we'll see some... I'm looking forward to seeing who comes out on top and how the top 10 shakes out.
Yeah, I think it'll be quite interesting. There's been a little shake-up here. There are some teams that it seems like the experts, I'll say something about experts in a minute, experts have played the runners. The front runners don't always get it done.
They don't. And let's talk about some of those upsets that happened Saturday. What do you make out of, well, we knew that two of the SEC teams were going to come home with a loss, but how about Florida State getting beaten by North Carolina State? That just shows you never know a team completely.
That's right. And to the dismay of the pundits and prognosticators, FSU will have to mail their crown back in.
Does that mean you too, when you list the pundits and prognosticators?
I don't know about that. It does me, in the sense that Jacob, missed out on the old professor was wrong about defeating Florida. I just wondered, have you noticed that has on the second half in games against Texas A&M, Tennessee, Kentucky, and LSU?
Yeah, Florida has really been a strong second half team, but they're strong in a lot of ways, and I just have to say I didn't predict that they would win either, like you, last week. But after seeing them play, I've seen them play now twice in big games, and I'm a believer. I think Florida is a good football team and has as reasonable of a shot as any team in the East to come out on top.
Yes, and I was surprised that Texas can't tackle. I guess maybe I was. I thought Texas would be a little bit better in football, just playing football and their skills at tackling and blocking. But they were a poor tackling game team in that game. And I was also not surprised that Georgia folded that game. South Carolina threw 10 passes, completing 6 for 162 yards. Now, they threw 10 passes, completed 6, and they scored 35 points. Georgia threw the ball 31 times, completing 11. That is, they completed 11 to Georgia players and 1 to a South Carolina player for 115 yards. That's about 3.5 yards per play in their passing game.
Every year we talk about how great Georgia is. Well, some of us do. I actually predicted South Carolina to win the East, but it never ceases to amaze me how much people will jump to conclusions when it comes to Georgia. And what have we seen from Georgia this year? Really, I mean, we saw them beat Vanderbilt down, but that's about it. And now they've lost to South Carolina.
Well, there are a lot of situations where where we look at things. Maybe we look at them backwards. It's like having a telescope and looking through the wrong end. Let's talk for a moment about the Auburn and Arkansas game. Now, first of all, before I make any comments about the game, I want to say that lost in all the hubbub about this game is the fact that Arkansas really played a good football game. They came out, they were crisp, they seemed like they were organized. Now, I want to say it right up front that I'm no expert by any means. Anyway, I heard that an expert is a drip under pressure. I also know that, as I said, the mindless dribble from football gurus, that they've forgotten the admonition that Scripture gives, felt not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. So I'm just going to give a thought, and this is just someone giving a thought who is not an expert in any sense of the word. But, when the present, Auburn hired their present offensive coordinator, Scott Leffler, he was brought in with such fanfare. And He had, you know, all the discussion about he had developed all these quarterbacks. I don't remember which all. I think it was Bart Starr and Johnny Unitas and some others. You know, that all sounded good. That's what the fans want. But the fact was, he had had 1 year of offensive coordinator experience, and that was at Temple. And he's having to learn on the job in a big-time program like Auburn. And this may not be all bad, but it's hard in the meantime. So don't ever accuse the fan base of being rational when they look at things. So I don't know what all the situations are, but that would...
Yeah, no, I agree with you. That is a subject that is very interesting here in the state of Alabama on a Monday after a 24-7 loss to a 1-win Arkansas team. Certainly not what you want to see if you're an Auburn fan, and there are serious questions that need to be asked. Oregon didn't have any problem with Washington. They won that game 52-21. Kansas State rolled over Kansas. As you mentioned, West Virginia with a win over Texas 48-45. Do you think West Virginia is now in the driver's seat in terms of the Big 12?
I think they might be, but they've got some difficult games. Who knows? I mean, what could happen with Oklahoma or with Kansas State? And you know, there will be some difficult games that they've got ahead of them.
That's true. Ohio State scored 63 points on Nebraska's defense. They won it 63-38. And some other games of note. I thought it was interesting that Oklahoma took care of Texas Tech. I thought that could have been a scare. And other games from the SEC, Mississippi State, no problem with Kentucky, 27-14. Vanderbilt upsets Missouri. Love to get your take on that in just a second. Texas A&M, 30-27 over Ole Miss as well. How about the Missouri Tigers, though? They haven't seemed to show anything positive since coming to the SEC.
They've had difficulties, and part of those, it kind of moves along like sometimes you call it a perfect storm. They put too much, they put all the eggs in the basket in the quarterback, and he's been hurting out a lot. And so it just caused their team not to function anywhere near the level they anticipated it would function. Then you hear about certain players being suspended and injuries, and you'd have to look close to see exactly what the issues are at Missouri.
Well, any games you're looking forward to in this next coming up week?
Yeah, I have a whole list of them. We'll look at some of those. I will make one more comment about last week. Army and UAB and Memphis and Idaho all got their first win, so congratulations to them. But this leaves two teams from the Conference USA and two teams from the MAC left out of win. And my prediction is that when we get to this time next year, there'll still be four without a win. We'll have to see. But it's also interesting that Army was able to get a victory over an ACC team, get their first win over an ACC team when they beat Boston College. But let's look at the games coming up this week. And one would be the South Carolina at LSU. South Carolina comes in with six wins and no losses. LSU has five wins and one loss. The only time LSU lost at home in the 11 games that they played against South Carolina was in 1994. In 2008, LSU lost to Florida 51-21 and came back the next week to defeat South Carolina 24-17. So in the series between South Carolina and LSU is 16-2-1. So this could... it could be that LSU comes back and wins this week.
Could be. 7 o'clock ESPN, Saturday night.
And then you've already mentioned the Alabama at Missouri. Alabama comes in with five wins and no losses. Missouri, three wins, three losses. Missouri is two wins and one loss all time against the Tide. The only time that they played in Columbia, though, Alabama won that game 38-20. And I look for Alabama to really. I'm looking for them to play well in this game and to win. I won't say it's going to be a real lock score, but I think they'll win with ease.
Going out on the limb there, Professor, expecting Alabama to win.
The next game, Jacob, is the Tennessee at Mississippi State. Now, the fact is, it could be that this is a trap game for Mississippi State because they have to play Middle Tennessee the following week. And remember, Middle Tennessee beat Georgia Tech 49-28. Now, Tennessee's won this the last six meetings, but I don't know. This is going to be a very interesting game. I don't even venture to say who might win.
Yeah, it will be. It's going to be a proving time for Derek Dooley, as we say. I mean, that pretty much is a routine statement we hear every week. But how about Mississippi State starting off undefeated, and I think they really have a chance Saturday to show that they are a really good team and are not just in the rankings because nobody could find any other undefeated teams to put up there.
Some other games of interest, we might just pass over them, but Auburn at Mississippi, that's going to be an interesting game. And then there's Vanderbilt at Florida. Game in Dallas is kind of, it's amazing. It just kind of moves to the back seat in the Big 12 Conference.
Oklahoma, Texas, there is no question. It usually, year in, year out, is one of the most looked forward to games, but it is not this year because both of them have a loss. And I don't know, Oklahoma seems to be more in the conference race now than they were because they still have yet to play West Virginia.
Well, it might just be, though, that the loser of this game drops off the charts.
Yeah.
Two losses. But you never know about this game. Last year, I think it was a one-sided game, but the reason it was one-sided, Texas had five turnovers in the game. Then there's State with 5-0 record going to Iowa State. Now, Kansas State has won four straight games in this series, but another thing of interest is the fact that Paul Rhodes, the head coach at Iowa State, now has an overall record of 22 wins and 21 losses as head coach of Iowa State. Now, I think that's quite an accomplishment for him at Iowa State.
It is indeed, and I saw a little bit of that game Saturday when they beat TCU by two touchdowns. And, it just never ceases to amaze me what he can do, especially there at Jack Trice Stadium in Ames.
One other game that I'd like for us to mention, maybe two, right quick, would be Duke at Virginia Tech. Duke is 5-1.
Yes, they are.
Virginia Tech 3-3. If I were to say to you, well, these teams come together, 5-1 and 3-3, you probably would have didn't know what was going on. You might have said, well, you know, Duke's having a pretty good record here this year with a 3-3 record.
That's right.
Well, I'm sorry, but that's Virginia Tech, and Duke could very easily. This could really be the ending of the season for Virginia Tech if they lose this game.
No doubt.
And then the only other game is just the Stanford at Notre Dame. And this will be a game of great interest, and I'm not sure how it's going to go. I thought about it, but I just don't have a feel for it.
Yeah, that's where game day will be, for those of you who don't know. Yeah, I think you're right. It'll be interesting to see if this is not going to be a major test for Notre Dame. I think they should probably handle it pretty easily. But it's another game that, you know, we'll find out a little bit more about Notre Dame. I don't think we found out very much about them Saturday night against a depleted and disgruntled Miami team. Well, college football professor, it has been another fantastic show on this Monday. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, thanks.
Well, we'll be back later in the week with more on the unbunsports.com. We'll also have power rankings, which I don't think you want to miss. A lot of interest around those and where all the teams will shake out. How far will LSU fall? They didn't fall very far in the coaches' poll or the AP poll, but I'm interested to see in our poll how far down they go. But we'll have to wait and see. Everyone have a good week. We'll see you soon.